Why is the birth of a baby such a big deal? You know, it's interesting that in our culture we have a time where we mark out that many of us celebrate Christmas. And if you're here tonight and you're not a part of our church and you're just visiting and you wanted to come and sing some Christmas songs, you can see that the birth of this child is a huge deal. Why is the birth of Jesus Christ such a big deal? Well, because from the beginning of time, God has been working to fulfill his promise to save his people from their sin. You see, God made everything that exists out of nothing as an expression not of any need that he had in and of himself, but as an expression of his power, an expression of his glory, of his might, of his goodness. And God created our first parents, and in that creation, and put our first parents in that creation. You know, and you might feel like, that just kind of cuts against the grain of what science has proven to us about the creation or whatever we think about how everything that we see came into existence. Oh, but friends, that's not true. God is not a human being bound to time. He is not a human being that's bound to the laws of nature that we see. He can act on this so-called closed system, even with the laws of nature, to work miraculously and supernaturally, even in the things that we see. And God is not anti-science, and science has not explained away the fact that God has created us. After all, here we sit and stand tonight. And God, he has existed forever. He has always existed as one God in three persons of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, what we refer to as the Trinity. And he created everything. And in the creation, in our first parents, he told them that if they would perfectly obey his commands, that they could live in his glorious presence forever, that they could enjoy his splendor uninhibited without anything coming in between them and God. But if they would disobey him, then that they would fall, that they would deserve death. And not only death in this life, but also eternal death. The eternal wrath of God in hell. Why is the birth of Jesus Christ such a big deal? Because when our first parents, Adam and Eve, fell, God, when he was cursing the serpent, the tempter, Satan, he made a promise that the seed of Eve would come to crush the head of the serpent, that would come to crush death. That's what we see in the first part of the Bible, the whole Old Testament. We see this seed being preserved through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and then we see it come into the kingdom of Israel. We see that extending, and even as Israel sins against God, and God, he punishes them, he judges them in exile, the promise still stands. And so the birth of Jesus Christ, we see much hope in the fulfillment of what God promised, that Christ is not a last name like your last name or surname or something like that. It means Messiah, anointed one, one who would come to save. And Jesus, even the very word itself, means salvation. So we deserve God's wrath for our sin, as we've inherited that from our first parents, but also we choose sin. We haven't always done what's right, and we have to admit that. Is there anything in your life that you can think of that you should not have done? But when we read God's word, we see there's even more that we weren't aware of, that we have not done the things that we should have done, and we have done things that we should not have done. So the big deal about the birth of Jesus Christ is that Jesus is God. Jesus is God. And we've sung about that in a number of the songs that we've already sung tonight. But here's how the angel of the Lord describes who Jesus would be to Joseph. Matthew chapter 1, verses 21 through 23. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Only God can save us from our sin. Only God can save us from death. That death, by faith in Jesus Christ, is no longer death to us. So did you hear that word, Emmanuel? We've sung that a few times in a few of the songs as well. It's a Hebrew word that means God with us. Imanu means with us. El means God. God with us. Jesus Christ is very God. There's a lot of people that will try to explain away and say, well, the first century Christians didn't believe that Jesus was actually God. That was something that was invented later, maybe at the Council of Nicaea, Constantine, or whatever. No, here in the text, God with us. And in the Old Testament, God promised that he would send Jesus to rescue his people by taking their place and dying, that it would please God the Father to crush the Son for the salvation of his people. So if you have the opportunity, maybe later tonight or tomorrow or this weekend sometime, read Isaiah chapter 53, that God would crush the Son so that we might have hope of reconciliation with God. Jesus was perfect. And when he took our place bearing God's wrath that we deserve, he saved us from our sin and from God's eternal punishment in hell. If we turn from trying to be kings and gods and mini rulers over our own little kingdoms and our own lives, turning from that and trusting in King Jesus Christ, in his death and his resurrection, we can be saved. So friend, if you're a Christian and you're here tonight, welcome. Sing these songs afresh. Read these texts again afresh. Be encouraged. Christian, turn from your sin again. You know, we're not saved because we prayed a prayer once earlier in our life. We're saved because God is giving the gift of repentance continually each day of our lives, and believe in the power of the death and resurrection of Christ. That's why the birth of Jesus Christ is such a big deal. We can't save ourselves. Only God can save us. And he came in the flesh, became incarnate, the baby Jesus Christ. And this is why, as fun as stories like these can be, Santa Claus, flying reindeer, snowmen, Frosty, or whatever, even, you know, if you lose a tooth and you're a kid around Christmas time, the tooth fairy or whatever it might be. No, that's not what this time of year is about. Jesus Christ, this baby who would grow to be a man, who would be crucified, and more than that, bear the eternal wrath of God for his people. Jesus came to save us from our sin, and that's what we celebrate at Christmas. Yes, we celebrate the incarnation, but we also really celebrate Easter. It's another excuse to celebrate the death and resurrection of Christ again, just a little bit earlier in the year. And that's what salvation means, Jesus. That is the greatest gift ever given. Christmas is about worshiping Jesus. And this is what the kings and the magi did. Listen to Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. And going to the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. A 19th century English pastor, Charles Spurgeon, wrote about this text. Those who look for Jesus will see him. Those who truly see him will worship him. Those who worship him will consecrate their substance to him. They'll give him their life. This is what it means to worship God, living for him, devoting your life to him, telling other people about him. Does this describe you? If you're a Christian here tonight, does that describe your life? This can be a good time of year to ask those kinds of examination questions. And if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, friend, I would encourage you, examine the claims of Christ. He's more than just a prophet. He's more than just a king. He's more than just a priest. He is the ultimate, the consummation of every prophet, priest, and king that there ever was. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. And the first two of the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament say this: you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments." When Christ was tempted in the wilderness, Jesus said to Satan this: "You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Luke chapter 4, verse 8. And then in people, worship Jesus. We see that again in the New Testament. After walking on water, the disciples, in the Bible it says that those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And after he rose again from the dead, he appeared to his mother Mary and Mary Magdalene, and they worshiped him. And it says, they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Matthew chapter 28, verse 9. Friends, what would it take for you to worship a person? And by worship, I don't mean just, pay some respect to, but really give your whole life to. Does it make you long for this Christ? And the 11 disciples had the same reaction later in Matthew chapter 28. It says, "And when they saw him, they worshiped him." Matthew chapter 28, verse 17. In John chapter 9, when Jesus healed the blind man, he worshiped him. In John chapter 9, verse 38. And Jesus knew that only God alone is the only one to be worshipped. And yet he accepted all of this worship. Can you see that? Jesus was fully God, and because of that, he is able, only he is able, to take our sin upon himself, to satisfy the wrath of God for us. We can trust that when he died for his people, God the Father fully accepted his sacrifice. He was perfectly blameless, a substitute to satisfy God's wrath for his people. Are you counted among his people? Repent of your sin, friends, and trust in this Christ. Don't let this Christmas season pass by as another time where you hear about Christ, but you don't do anything with him, or rather, you don't let him have anything to do with you. This time of year is often called Advent, which means the time that we wait for the coming of the birth of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. But there's more to it than that. Jesus, God in the flesh, is going to come back again one day. So not only in October, November, December do we live in a time of Advent as we look forward to when Christ came as a baby, but now we live each and every day of our lives looking forward to the Advent of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he will come to judge the living and the dead, where he has not forgotten his people, even as they suffer around the world or even in this room tonight, that he will come back. He has not abandoned his people. He will take them home to be with him where he is forever. So this Christmas, remember how Jesus came as a baby. Even as last year we thought about Jesus was fully man, this year we think about Jesus as fully God. And remember about how Christ grew to be a man, the man of sorrows, who took our sin and bore God's wrath in our place, if we would only repent and believe. But also remember that one day he will come back to take his people to be with him forever. It's my hope that we will not only remember the past, but we will look forward to Christ's glorious future return. So Christians, if you're here tonight and you're a believer, trust in Christ afresh. Give him your life. And if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, turn from your sin. Trust in Christ. Have him as your Lord and as your King and as your God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise that though there's nothing that we could do to redeem ourselves, to save ourselves, that you sent a perfect Savior, Jesus Christ. As we sing these songs, God, we pray that you would remind us of your grace and of your mercy, of your patience, your long-suffering, your kindness, your steadfast love that endures forever. God, we pray that you would lift up our hearts and that you would help us to see the glory of the King, even as he was born a child and yet a king. Great King David's greater son, Jesus Christ, our Emmanuel. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.